and welcome to Musically Illiterate. I'm your host, Georgia Gove, a millennial who never really got into music. This week on the show, I talk to my friend Matt McLean about the album Palomino by Trampled by Turtles. We talk about how Midwest people handle feelings, anxiety, and we talk about breakups. If you like the podcast, please rate, review, subscribe. It really helps people find me. And if you want to find me on social media, it's at Musically Illiterate on Instagram and Facebook and at Musically Illit 1 on Twitter. That's at Musically Illit1 on Twitter. Enjoy the episode. So I'm here with my friend Matt, and what album did you choose?
I chose Palomino by Trampled by Turtles.
And why'd you choose that album?
I think it might be my most listened to album, and then it's definitely the band I've seen the most live, and then they're also from my hometown. So I had a good three-tick reason there.
Yeah, they're from Duluth, you said.
Yes, from Duluth, Minnesota. So they started out there, going to college there. So I saw them a couple times when I was there, and then got more into them in college, kind of when you're like missing your hometown and you're like looking to hold on to any of that identity you can, kind of thing. And was like slowly introducing them to people, being like, "Yeah, you wanna know what my hometown's about? Like, check these guys out. These bluegrass guys can really bring it." So that was kind of my
they shred, right? You know, they bluegrassy shred, you know.
Yeah,
it's the first, so I actually have heard the first song, which is Wait So Long.
Yeah, that's their big one.
Yeah, it's I think it's their biggest bop. And a friend of mine really likes Trampled by Turtles and has been telling me to listen to them, and of course I have not because I'm a bad friend, but but she showed me this song, and then I put it on. When I really like a song, I'll put it on one of my like various playlists, and then like, you know, it'll come up on shuffle. And this is one that when I'm in a certain place, I will listen to on repeat. Nice. So I actually know this song pretty well.
All right, what is like? Is it as a certain like if you're on a road trip or something? Is that like the time you cue it up, or is it just like once it comes in, you're like, oh hell yeah, let's.
Sometimes once it comes in, but there, I think there was a period of time where I was like feeling like sad and kind of heartbroken and kind of like lonely, and it just hit the right note in my soul, you know, where you're just like. Where it's kind of melancholy, but also very upbeat. So it was just like, I needed something to kick, you know, like kick me into gear. Like I was just like, I can't be feeling, it was like at that point in sadness where I'm like over wallowing. I cannot wallow anymore.
Right.
I'm done wallowing.
Something
can't do it.
Jumpstart me to get me.
Yeah. Like I need a kickstart to like get my heart back into gear, because we can't be doing this anymore.
But you can't have like something that's too poppy or too happy.
No.
And then you're like, this is just such a contrast, like it's unapproachable. That's like bluegrass is that good. Like it's got everything kind of mixed in. Like it's got sadness, it's got like that confusing kind of tone where you're like, I don't know whether I should be like anxious or excited or like partying in the mud or like
partying in the mud. Definitely always partying.
Oh,
wait,
that's a good safety bet.
You should always be partying specifically in the mud.
Specifically in or around mud is what you should be doing. Yeah, if you're in doubt, yeah, that's the go-to. Where it's like, it has all the stuff in it. Like it just feels like it just has everything like mashed in, which I like. Yeah. But yeah, that's what it is for me. Of like, I think one of the reasons I like it is like, if you're, depending on what mood you're in, you can kind of get thrown into something different. It'll kind of like kick you out, but it's not like obnoxious. Like it's really like heavy handed, like pushing you into something like some like really upbeat, like electronic music. I think sometimes I'm like, this is
or even
specifically
like Elliot
for like
Smith,
mood.
Like sadness, you know,
it's
kind of like, which I, you know, I did an Elliot Smith song, or album for this podcast a few people ago. And it was, it's like great music, but it is like just very sad.
Yeah. It's, I love listening to it in a very specific time, and that's it. You know, it's not a, kind of everyday thing I can pull around. Like bluegrass, especially like Trampled by Turtles bluegrass, I think is like something where, if I just listen to it, I'm like, oh, I'm going to just get the whole range of like every emotion in one thing. Like, I'm just going to feel everything.
Gonna get them all out of the way.
Get them all. Yeah. Just like, if you really want to go through the ringer. I feel like that's might say something about me of like, I like to just really, maybe it's like I don't feel a lot, and then I'm like, okay, I need something that's just going to make me have all the feelings. Can I just have them all jam-packed into an album?
That sounds like a Midwest bottling right there.
Oh,
that
for
sounds
sure.
Like, that sounds like, let me bottle all the things that I'm feeling, save them for later, and then we'll get them all out in this one go.
Yeah, we'll set them aside for a nice Saturday afternoon, and then just feel everything for 20 minutes, and then you can just go on with your day.
Yeah, now I'm moving on, and I don't need to feel again.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's how it works.
I feel like I'm getting more and more like that the more I live in the Midwest, where I'm just like, before I was just like a puddle of emotions, which is like good and bad, you know?
Yeah.
Like, there are times when being a puddle of emotions is probably better than not being a puddle of emotions.
Right. You can't go too far in either direction. Wait, where'd you grow up again?
New Jersey.
New Jersey, that's right. Okay. So you had, there was more emotionality there.
I think we're just very expressive, you know?
Yeah.
Like, we just, like, there's a different kind of bottling. There is, like, a pushing down that happens, but, like, but it is, like, a, you know, the constant, I think, is just, like, I'm going to put this feeling out there because it needs to be dealt with, and then I can move on, you know? And some things you push down, but mostly it's just like, I'm angry and I'm going to let you know that I'm angry right now.
Which, yeah, I kind of wish I had something. Like, there was no articulating of anger. It was all just passive aggressive comments, hoping maybe someone would catch on.
Yeah.
And then you just never know. So you're always walking around on eggshells trying to predict who's angry or what you might've said wrong.
It was just
not good.
Yeah, I think that's why I've had a hard time dating, like, Midwest boys, you know, generally.
Yeah.
I mean, like, it's going well right now, but when I get mad, I'm mad right now, and I will be fine later, but I am mad right now, and I need you to not touch me or look at me for 10 to 15 minutes, you know?
Right, and we're so, like, Midwest, we're so conflict avoidant that we're like, oh, I can't have the mad right now at all. We can't have a mad ever.
Yeah,
we gotta avoid it at all
costs. Please no mad. Please no be mad.
So let's just fix it as soon, like, no mad. And it's like, no, just give it 10 minutes. Like, just let this burn off
for
10
just
minutes.
Let me go into my corner and think about it for a minute. I'll come back with, like, so I don't, like, yell at you, you know? Like, I'll come back and, like, have a cogent, you know, processing of my feelings so that I can, like, so then we can deal with it.
Yeah.
But for 10 minutes, I need to not look at you.
That's good that you know that. Being like, yeah, let's pause. Let's remove this and think about something else.
Yeah. And that is my New Jersey upbringing. Cause, like, otherwise I'll flip a table, you know?
Yeah. And there's, you know, only so many tables you can flip.
It's only so many tables you can flip before you're just like, you know what? I have to stop buying tables.
Yeah. Gotta stop buying.
I just can't have a table.
I was wondering why your apartment is all table. Like, there's just, it's 14 flip tables and two upright ones that we're using right now.
It's because I get mad and I flip a table.
Wow. Okay.
These are the facts.
That's how it works.
But yeah, Wait So Long is a... It's an awesome song. It's a beautiful song. And they play so fast, you know?
Yeah.
And I just love that. I love that, like, that phrase that keeps getting repeated. That, like, da-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na. Like, that phrase just, like, you know, there's certain things that tug at your soul, you know?
Yes.
And that's one of those that, like, it gets me every time where it's just, like,
and they start it off. Let's start off the album, start off the song with that thing, and it just, like, gets you in. You're like, you know exactly almost what the entire album is kind of going to be like with that initial riff. Like, it just hooks you in right away and be like, I kind of get the tone, I kind of get the energy, and I'm on board for this ride right now.
Yeah, yeah, it gets you right in the mood.
Oh,
and,
so good.
And there's one song that I always love whenever it comes on, like a raindrop in a river, like a tiny grain of sand, you know, it's so in line with my view and philosophy of the world where I'm just like, I love the feeling. Like, some people don't like looking at space and, like, because it just reminds you about how big the universe is. And I think a lot of people don't like thinking about that. You know how small we all, how small and insignificant
think,
we all are, but I love that. Well, and I love thinking about that because I'm like, sometimes when I'm in a deep emotion that I can't break out of, I'm just like, or in, like, a place where I'm, like, feeling you know, stuck or whatever, I'm just like paralyzed by a decision. I just like zoom out and think about how just vast and infinite the universe is. And I'm like, well, I mean, like the choice that I make matters to me, but it doesn't in the grand scheme of the world, like it's not going to change, you know, it's not going to change the path of the world.
Yeah. Or it's the like, universe. This isn't like, going to matter. And it's so, it seems so simple, but we forget it like every time. Yeah. Or at least I do. I'm like, I just get totally caught up in the minutia and like the drama of like, yeah, single decision of being like, oh yeah, is it going to matter? Like what I put in this set list for tonight. And you just get so caught up being like, just anything that reminds me to zoom out is amazing. Yeah. You just, it's like, it's such a good reminder every time. Yeah. Staring up at space. I mean, like, it kind of sucks in Chicago when we like can't see stars at all. Like we were talking about camping before this when we got in, but like the benefit of just going out somewhere where you can just see a bunch of stars, it just feels like that. It's an instant lesson in zooming out and like in the, your infinitesimal being on this planet where you're like, what am I worried about? Like, what am I thinking is so important?
What is, what is so important to me? You know, like what is so important that like it's going to change the course of time and space, you know, like nothing, it's fine. It's You'll be fine.
Yeah.
And that's my, I don't know. My philosophy is just like to not be so self-important and to like just focus on the fact on like trying to be there for the people that you love, you know, like, and just trying to like make the world better in the small ways you can.
Yeah. And it feels like if you, in those little decisions of being like, okay, if I'm just making a positive difference and I'm acting in a positive way towards the people I love, you just extend that over like 10 years. And it's like, there's no way that doesn't lead to more happiness and more fulfillment. If you just keep that simple and you keep doing those things.
Yeah. The good things you do come back to you, you know, the kindnesses that you extend come back to you in some way, shape or form.
And even like looking back, like there's proof in it when it's like you think about the things you were sweating over like 5 years ago and the decisions that you thought were so huge 5 years ago. And you're like, if I would have made something like I think I would have circled the drain around the same path I'm on anyways right now. Yeah. So it's like, well, what am I so worried about that I think this one's going to be this pivotal moment that just steers the ship, you know, to a different ocean? It's like, I don't think that's going to happen.
No. And it's like, you know. Everything, when you have anxiety, everything becomes this, like, huge deal, you know, like every little thing is just like, you know, what you have for lunch becomes like a, like, well, if I have the soup, then, you know, maybe I'll be hungry in 2 hours if I, and it's just like, well, if I'm hungry in 2 hours, I can just like get a snack, you know, it's like, you'll be fine.
All the what ifs. And just being like, well, we better prepare as much as possible for whatever's going to happen. And be like, well, all that's going to happen is I'm going to get hungry. Yeah. What is the, why do we need to catastrophize this?
Yeah. Like, yeah. Everything becomes like such a big catastrophe. I've been trying to be like better, more zen about it, but yeah, anxiety is fun. Anxiety is a fun thing.
Oh yeah. So you have a brand of anxiety that like really likes planning. Is that kind of the thing or likes?
No, I mean, you would think that I would. I'm kind of like, I think I just like, tell my anxiety to take a fucking walk and I just like don't plan anything, you know,
because
and I think I just get overwhelmed by decision making. Yeah. So then like making plans is hard for me. It's like when two people reach out to me to do something at the same time, it makes me want to puke. Like I just get so anxious. Oh, man. Like what, like about like, should I do this? Should I do plan A or plan B? Or should, and it just makes me want to stay home, just like cancel all my plans and just be like, you know what? I actually have a date with my couch, so I'll see you later.
I like that of being like, instead of disappointing one friend for the other, being like, let's just disappoint both.
Let's just like not text people back, you know? Like,
that's, I get this, that same thing. And I think it's like that, a little bit of that people pleasing part where it's like you want to do what's best for like the friends, or like you don't want to be a burden, you don't want to disappoint, and like no matter what, you think there's going to be ill will, when it's like in reality it's like, well, no one's even thinking this far into it. No one's like going to care if I show up to this party or not.
If I can't make it, it's like I can't make it. It's fine, you're okay, you know. I just get paralyzed by decisions, which is very fun when it becomes time to like order food and Tucker's like, what do you want? And I'm like, oh, Don't make me make this decision.
Don't make me do this.
Yeah.
What if I get hungry in 2 hours?
What if I get hungry?
What happens then? What then?
What then? And the thing is, I'm always hungry because I forget to eat. You know, like I'll be out and about, and I'll be like, that's why I end up eating at bars a lot. All right, please don't play around the tree. I'm gonna move the cats. Hold on.
Comedy problem specific of eating at bars, of being like, you spend so much time in bars and then you like look back at a week of like, what did I have for meals? Like,
yeah.
Or you're like, why am I depressed? And be like, oh, I ate a burger and fries 3 days in a row. Like,
yeah,
this is a problem. I need
fries and tacos and nachos and tachos.
Yep. Yeah. And not even like bar food is like, oh, we're going to have a variety. It's the Chicago bar. Like if you go to like Three Mics in Wrigleyville, you're like, oh, I'm going to have something with cheese and potato
for three meals. Sure. This week. Yeah. I'm trying to be better about that. Me and Tucker are trying to cook more.
Nice.
Which is good. And it's like it's a good pairing because I hate doing dishes right away. So I'm like a person that's like, once I eat, I'm like, I'll do dishes tomorrow. It's fine. Or like a week from now, it's okay. but I'm good at the cooking part. So I'll cook and he'll like do my dishes as I'm going.
Oh man. Like, that's what a perfect pairing.
I know.
That is being like, oh, thank God.
You got like a dish partner. This is good.
Yeah,
this is amazing for me.
Man, truly. I already liked Tucker to begin with. He's an awesome dude. We've met a few times and hung out and now I'm like, this guy's a hero. He's a dish person. That is
right.
When do you meet dish people?
Yeah. How did I find a dish person? Anyway, Tucker, thank you. I appreciate you.
Tucker, you're awesome.
but the next song is Victory.
Victory.
Which is there's a couple songs on here. Like most of this album would be great for a road trip, I feel like. But there's a couple that definitely feel like a road trip. Like where you're just like, oh, I can just like picture, you know, the sun is like setting and we're, man, this cat is making me nervous with this tree.
They're zooming in there. The cats are dangerously close underneath a lit Christmas tree about to reenact Christmas Vacation chewing through wires.
Oh my God. Okay.
So that's what's going on right now. But yeah, the road trip feeling of like it's got some of that. It's just that like I don't know what you kind of like call it, but it's definitely something that like put in on road trips of, you know, I was like mentioning this of, you know, when I'm going up to like I try to go up to Canada like once a year with like some people from Duluth and some people from Chicago, and just always like put it on like as soon as we're getting like into the woods, and it just has that like you're getting in the thick of it. You're starting to get into the wilderness, and there's just that kind of primalness to the music. It's all acoustic kind of feel.
Yeah, there is a primalness to bluegrass in general that's really nice.
Yeah.
You know? It's like taking it back to that, like, that fun element of music where you're just like, it's like fun lyrics. Okay, all right. I'm going to get my spray bottle. Jesus Christ.
Man. Like how they're active now.
I know.
I've been chill for an hour.
Yeah, they've been chill the entire time.
Yeah.
But now they're deciding to make me nervous. Yeah.
Now we're going to really ramp it up. They got all the bluegrass in their system, and now...
Okay. We'll spray them as soon as they come out. As soon as they come to that tree.
Hand them the trigger finger. No worries, yeah.
Cats, man, they are wild.
Yeah,
wild creatures.
Do they get along pretty well?
Yeah. This is they're just playing, which is good and like good. Get your energy out, but also not around the Christmas tree, please.
Not around the ornaments,
around
the lights, please.
Yeah, please stop doing that. But it does feel like there is like a primalness to bluegrass that feels like, cause it's just like having fun with instruments, you know, it's just it feels, there's like a jamming quality to like a blues or a jazz, you know, like has that same, it's that same sort of feel where it's like, doesn't really matter what notes you play, you know?
And I like the combination where it doesn't get, I think where I get lost a little bit in like jam bandy or I'm not as much fully into that is just, you know, where I want there to be a little bit of like structure. I want there to be a little bit of that, like, can tell the like technical prowess is there, where I like that about bluegrass. Like, they take a break, like they can jam for a little bit, but you also just hear the like such a
they're so talented, yeah, you know,
and just like how fast and like how tight they can play, where you're like, oh, there's just such a clear like technical ability here. And it really, like, that is my, I think my favorite part is just watching them live. It's like one of those bands where you see it live, you see them live, and it just, it makes total sense. We can just see how quick their fingers are moving and just how they're just ripping, just playing the shit out of their instruments. And you're like, this is insanity what I'm looking at. Like, this is just mind bending watching them go that fast.
Yeah. How can people play that? Like, yeah. Wait so long is like, how can anyone play that fast? Yeah. Victory is a little slower.
Yeah.
And then It's a War is also very fast.
That's another fast one. Yeah, that's right. And that's the, yeah, that's the one where it's just kind of like sit back and we're going to do something really cool with our instruments. Like, watch what we're going to do. And it's
cool. And it does feel like, very like battle, you know, like where we're in the middle of a battle.
Yeah.
It's like very chaotic and like, it's very fast. It's good. It's a great song.
Another great like road trip song where you're just like, kind of, you know,
this
you
is like
stay
a
awake.
You're on the highway and you're just like, let's just go as fast as we can without getting pulled over by the cops.
Yep, exactly. Let's just rip it on these dirt roads.
Yeah.
We're going back to set up camp and let's just fly, you know?
Yeah.
Yep,
yeah. No one's out here. Let's just do it.
Yeah. Totally.
And then the next one is Separate, which I wrote down. I looked up the lyrics because I couldn't quite hear what they were saying in the moment.
Yeah, I'm like a bad lyric person too, where I'll like know the lyrics and then when I hear them kind of, and then I just can never remember any specific lyrics to any song, or it's only like when I'm listening to them being like, oh yeah, I remember like this one made me feel a certain way or whatever that is, but then like I can never repeat, like they just don't store them in my memory somehow.
No, know? I don't store a lot of like, I don't store song names even, song titles.
Yeah.
I'm just like, I don't store all that information. I'm just like, oh yeah, this is a song I like. And then I move on with my day, which is why I have all these playlists in Spotify where I'm just like, it's just different vibes. And I'm like, well, I'll just add it to this vibe of my playlist. Yeah. And then like when it comes on, I'll be like, oh yeah, this song. I do like this song.
That's a good way to do it. I mean, like, I think, and Spotify is good at like that curating thing. Like, I'll kind of look at like their, what they make for you, and I'm like, how they nailed it. I mean, like, this is kind of all the upbeat songs I listen to and things like that. Yeah,
I'm just bad at listening to music. If I'm up to my own devices, I'll just listen to a podcast, you know?
Yeah.
It's just like, I've always liked the sound of people talking, and I think that extends from you know, my dad was a big football person, so I was just like always listening in the background of whatever I was doing to like football. So,
oh, sure. Right. You know, it's so almost like a soothing thing where you're like, oh yeah, it's kind of comforting. Like listening to people comment on things.
Yeah. Listening to people like talk and whatever, gab like gals. But I wrote down this, gab like gals.
Gab like gals.
Gab like gals.
One of my favorite things to do.
I love to gab. I love gabbing.
I love a good gab. Yeah.
I love gossip.
It's been a while since we had a good gab.
I know. We haven't really had a good gab.
Man. Yeah. We had a good gab, at Buzz Coffee.
Yeah.
A long time.
That place was good.
Maybe months ago.
Yeah, it was a couple months ago.
And now we're catching up again.
Yeah.
It's great.
I know. That's the nice thing about this podcast, too, is I just get to, like, invite my friends over and we get to gab.
Yeah. It's weird. Yeah, I know. It's a... It's weird that, like, sometimes you just want to be like, do you want to come over and just talk? But there has to be, like, an event centered around it. Like, every time I, like, invite a friend, especially as a guy, I feel like it's weird to be like, hey, do you want to just sit on my couch and catch up?
Chill out. Yeah, it's just like, yeah, there is that thing where it's like, it is just like, it just feels weird sometimes to invite people back to your house, you know, unless you're like best friends, you know. It's just like, okay, well,
there is a level, there's that friendship level of being like, yeah, you want to just come over after this thing or like this mic, whatever we're seeing, and then just hang out. And you're like, yeah, sure.
Yeah. That's kind of like the nice thing about having like a regular bar or something, you know, it's just like, let's go meet at whatever place. So.
But even then, it's like, what am I? I don't want to drink most of the time now.
No.
Like, most of the time, I'm like, I don't want to spend the money and like spend more money at a bar. Like, I just want a cup of water, maybe some CBD, you know, who knows? And then just, let's just catch up. Let's just get into it.
Yeah. Yeah, no, most of the time I just want to chat. I want the experience of being in a bar and chatting, but, yes, like, not the actual experience of being in a bar and chatting.
I feel like, I don't know if you think the same way. I don't think the next generation is going to be as booze heavy as we were. I think they're going to catch on and be like, what are we doing? Like, this is clear poison.
Yeah.
And they're like, I think, because they're way more emotionally intelligent, I think, than we were. And I think that leads to, like, a little more self-reflection, being like, I don't think we need to, like, black out to experience life.
Yeah, no, I think, actually, blacking out does not help anyone experience life.
But that was what I believed for the longest time. I mean, like, blacking out is the only way I'm fun, and it's the only way I know how to connect with people.
Yeah, I think it is. Like, people knock the next generation for being, like, unable to connect in person because of the internet, but I think there is, I kind of agree with you where I think they are going to be a little bit more, a little less like booze related, you know, like they're going to be a little bit more, you know, like drink like you're supposed to drink, like one or two and then go home.
Yeah. Could be.
Yeah. Mostly water.
Mostly water. Drink mostly water. Water makes you feel pretty good.
It does. I need to drink more of it. I'm bad at drinking water. I do LaCroix, and I know that's not... It is water adjacent. It is water, yeah, but it's not, like, as refreshing. It's not, like, as good for you, really.
Is it really not? I've been treating it like, so. A hydrator.
Yeah, I think it's not as hydrating. Maybe I'm wrong. Maybe I'm very wrong, but I've heard that it's not as hydrating as just, like, regular water.
I suppose there's something probably in the... This is just pure speculation, too. I don't know. Maybe carbonation has some sort of, like, diuretic nature. I don't know.
Yeah, I think just, like, the carbonation... It's like, I don't know. I truly don't know. Yeah. I should not talk about it because I
have, we should just theorize.
No idea.
I think we should theorize for a good like half hour what carbonation might do.
Yeah. But some people have, I thought that I was like hydrating fine with LaCroix, and then somebody was like, it's actually not
yeah, that good.
I think it is actually a diuretic. I think because of the carbonation, it's a diuretic.
I think that makes sense.
Yeah.
Because, like, you can't just slug, like, three. You don't feel great after drinking a bunch of them.
No.
You don't feel bad, but...
You don't feel... Yeah, you still feel, like, burpy and...
Yeah.
So, I should be drinking more straight water. Anyway, back to separate.
Yes.
There's this line, filled with fatal flowers and praying for the sky to turn turn from black to gray, which I really liked. And also, miracles that make me want to die was another line that stuck out to me.
Yeah.
You know? It was very, I wrote down more folk, less comfortable, but I think I meant more folk, less country. Just like, why did I write down more folk, less comfortable?
Do you do that, like, when you start talking or when someone starts talking to you, you just write what they're saying instead of the thought that's in your head?
Yeah, exactly.
That
could
have been it. Yeah.
But yeah, the miracles that make me want to die, miracles that make me want to die, it is like, I was just thinking about that and I was like, yeah, that is like a thing. Like sometimes you're just like this beautiful thing that should be like, wow, you know, it should reaffirm life to you. Sometimes you're just like, what am I doing? You know?
Yeah. Where you're just like, I just want to. This is too much right here.
Yeah.
Like, this is a ton.
It's too much emotion for me in this moment. And it kind of makes me want to give up.
Which is kind of the feel I get from bluegrass where, going back to like more folk, less country a little bit, I think
some people... More folk, less comfortable?
Less comfortable. I think some people get turned off by comfortable country because it's like, it's just a little, too kind of like that southern feel, like kind of honky-tonky.
Yeah. Bluegrass can have that feel sometimes.
Yeah. And I think some people maybe run away from it, but then, you know, Tramp by Turtles, a few other bands just have that. It's that more like progressive bluegrass sound where you're like, you're getting some of this like folk feel to it and you're getting some of these lines that make you feel.
It's similar to Mumford, you know? It's similar to that, but not as like canned, you know?
Yeah. And you get just some of the, you get hit with the feelings a little bit more rather than this isn't just a jolly old good time type of thing.
Yeah. Although I love Mumford too.
Sure.
Mumford, but Mumford definitely has like a style and they stick to it and they don't really change a whole lot.
Yeah. So, but it's comforting. We're like, I know what I'm getting. Like, this is Mumford through and through, and it's fantastic. Yeah, I listen to Mumford and Sons all the time. I know people can nag on it, but it's like, it is, they're great at what they do.
Like, they do one thing and they do it really well. Some people are good at that one thing. Yeah. Kenny G knows how to play his saxophone really well. We don't rag on Kenny. Well, we do.
Yeah, but the man can rip up a saxophone.
Oh, he can rip up a saxophone. Yeah.
He's going to make every 80s movie better with a saxophone.
Yeah, he was in Jesus is King. He was on that album.
Wow. There we go.
Yeah.
Makes everything
proof
better.
Proof is in the pudding, you know?
If you're going to find a saxophone guy, you get Kenny G.
Who's the first person we think of every time we think of saxophone?
Lisa Simpson, but Kenny G next.
There is probably somebody who we should be thinking of more, but...
Sure, yes. I'm not as knowledgeable on music. Yeah, I like music. I guess the background, I like music. I like listening to a lot of different kinds of music, but I'm not... that great at, like, I couldn't describe to you, like, chord structure. I couldn't really describe to you, like, what is technically solid about an album, or, like, oh, the tinniness here is, like, great. Like, I can't really get into that much depth, but...
So I wanted to be, like, a musical theater person, and I was, like, in chorus and, like, I was in, like, choir and stuff in high school. So I do know a little bit about, like... But I took a lot of music theory, and I can't tell you about chord structure, you know? I can barely tell you the arrangement of notes, like the chord progression, you know?
Oh, yeah,
like,
yeah.
What the, you know.
Of just like, C is comprised of the CGA. Yeah,
I can't do that.
Yeah.
But I can, you know, there's like, I can pick out, like, I'm like, oh, I like this phrase, or I like this, whatever. I can do like that sort of thing, but it's not.
Yeah.
It's not like, I'm not like a music nerd. Obviously I'm doing a whole podcast about how I don't know about music, but it just like none of that stuff sticks.
Which I love that.
Bounces off.
Yeah, set up, because there's so much pressure when, like, when you're talking about music and being like, well, are you talking about it intelligently? And be like, well, I mean, everyone loves music, and the people that like know the exact technical wording for everything is such a minute portion of the population where the rest of us are just kind of left like, well, he kind of... This one makes me feel kind of bluesy in a way, and that's like the best we can do with it, which is fine.
I think I describe music more in like feelings and like things that it reminds me of than the actual structure of it.
Which isn't that the point of like enjoying art is like, okay, this made me feel this way to me. And then you're like, interesting, that actually made me feel this way. And then you get to talk about the differences of how you
filtered it. I'd rather talk about how it makes me feel than like the nitty gritty of the actual song, you know, like, or like, I'd rather talk about like a moment in time where I listened to this song and it was just like, oh, this is the song that I needed.
Yeah.
And, in that moment, like Ariana Grande's Break Free, that was a song that would come on at my work, when I worked at Protein Bar very briefly.
Didn't enjoy it.
No, I'm not. It turns out I don't like food service too much.
I used to work by one and went there for lunch like 2 days in a row. And I'm like, yeah, I think I'm done with this.
Yeah.
I think I'm out.
Yeah. It was just like nuts. Like you'd have if you were like making smoothies or we had one, the one that I worked in had a juicer. So it was just like, if you were working, the like smoothie line, usually you were by yourself. And so you would be making like, and if a rush came in, it's like you have to make 5 smoothies at once. And if you have a juice that you have to do, like all those smoothies are going to have to wait.
Yeah. Everyone's
15 to 20 minutes
staring at you while you're making a big vat of this one.
Not
15
to 20 minutes. That's not.
Every smoothie would take an hour. This is why I got fired.
You'd have to wait at least like 10 minutes, you know, for me to like get to your, cause I had to like, and if it was a beet smoothie, you had to clean out the machine right away. So it was just like, they were sitting there while I was like making the juice, you know, putting all the things in and then also cleaning it out, you know, putting water through.
Whole,
and I was just like, I'm so sorry. There's nothing I can do. Like, I wish they would put 2 people on this line also, but.
And it's also the worst people don't like Protein Bar. It's like there's a bunch of them in the loop in Chicago where people work, and it's all just like these like very tight type A people with AirPods in that are like have 2 minutes for lunch and are coming by to get like their dollop of like extracted green. I feel like that was everyone I would go into. It was just like a bunch of people yelling on the phone for like a stock trade. Yeah. And then going out immediately. I'm like, I hate being here right now. So I can't imagine working there. Must have been a lot of those types just filtering in.
Yeah, it was. Yeah, it was just like people who are like who are working out and like people and like moms, you know, like those like yoga moms and like that. Sure. Yeah, it was just a lot of people. A lot of like very entitled people.
Yep.
So it was not. It's not that. But anyway,
because it is like $15 for like
a salad.
Yeah, quinoa salad.
Yeah, and honestly, the Southwest salad does slap, and I've made it myself. You know, like I've made a Southwest salad at home, and it does slap. Like it is very good. And the guac and roll or whatever it's called, it's like the guacamole like wrap. If you like, pro tip: if you like protein bar, is get that the guac thing and have them put like 2 pumps of Chipotle in it.
It comes in or not pump quantity.
Not Chipotle. You pump it. You pump a Cholula. 2 pumps of Cholula.
Wait, it comes in a. It's not a shake and drop. It's
Pump and dump. Because it's because it's for you have to like do. You have to be fast.
Okay.
You know, on the line, so you don't have time to like shake it. It's like a big jug. It's like a huge tub of.
Oh my. Did you see one on the way out? That would have been perfect.
I should have. Yeah. I really should have. But yeah, you just like do a couple squirts of Cholula and then have it grilled. That's
a pro tip. That sounds delightful. Yeah. You're holding up the line again.
Yeah. And then you're holding up the line. Oh man, the amounts of times that I like rolled burritos and then they like burst on the grill and then I'd have to make it all again.
Oh.
So fun. Anyway, please be kind to anyone who works in food service. It's not an easy job. As much as like people think it's an easy job, it's like it is easy in some senses, but it's like in the emotional and the physical and emotional toll that it takes on a person is hard.
Yeah, I like worked a little bit back in a grill on the golf course I worked at in high school, and even like the couple times I would be back there, I'm like, I'm not made for this.
I was a waitress for a minute and I cried every day.
Oh, I bet. It's
I cried every day. People are mean. And I'm very sensitive. I was not equipped.
And you just get such a true sample size of like general humanity. Yeah. It's like you can get used to just like, oh, we're just like hanging around comics all the time and they're such like nice people. And then you're like, oh, most people, it's pretty rough out there.
Yeah, most people are wild and mean.
Yeah.
Not most people, some people. People when they're ordering food are mean.
Yeah,
some people reason. When they're hungry are mean is the thing. And I get it because I get angry too when I get hangry and I have to remember to be polite, you know? Like I have to be like, Georgia, it's not their fault. You know, that your food isn't coming out as fast as you want it to come out. So just, like, be kind, you know?
Which is, just, like, that level of awareness. People, like, 90% of the population, they don't have that.
No, they don't give a shit, you know? Yeah, anyway. But, so when I was working at Protein Bar, I was also, like, at the tail end of this very shitty relationship. And Ariana Grande's Break Free would come on a lot. And and it was like, this is the part where I say I don't want. And I was just like, yeah, I need this song.
I am going to break free.
I'm going to break free.
What am I going to do right now? Yeah. I'm taking this Cholula pumper and I'm getting
I'm going to take this giant tub of Cholula and I'm going to break free. Thank you, Ariana Grande. I don't even know why I was like, bringing that up, but
yeah, the good thing you talk, I remember because that, I was thinking this album too of like this is the one, and like the songs from this was like when I was going to college and I was like struggling to make friends, you know, super depressed like freshman year too. But this is always the one where I'm like, if anyone's like, you know, what do you want to listen to? I'd always put this on, and then it was just like such a strong, like, oh, this is my. I'm representing my hometown and I can like bring this within like, you just have that pride of your hometown. Like, I think the first time you move away and you want to like convince everyone that it's awesome and this is the best part of
it. Even though you were sick of it by the time I'm done. I need to get out of here.
And then as soon as you leave, you'd be like, no, it was awesome. Why are you
Duluth
guys?
Is amazing.
I can talk shit about it. You guys can't.
Yeah. That's how I feel about Jersey. Whenever anyone's like, talk shit about Jersey, I'm like, say that to my face. I will fight you. But then I'm back for like 3 weeks and I'm like, I have to leave. Yeah. I have to go. I cannot be here anymore.
For sure. Exactly.
But the next song after that is after Separate is Bloodshot Eyes, which has a beautiful harmonica in the beginning.
Yes.
And I think this one's a slower one.
Mm-hmm.
They do a lot of like good like going between fast and slow.
Yes, they do like, and they show it on, like they can do both, which is awesome. So that, like that, you see them live too, and you can get. It's not exhausting where you're just, like, high-strung and stressed the whole time. It's like they're going to let you breathe and then be like, yeah, we can also do this. You can also sit back and, you know, get the feels, and this will be this.
Yeah. Yeah, it's a very, like, well-balanced album. But this song I really loved, and there was a line that was... It's the first line. It's like, it's empty, or the first phrase. It's like, it's empty where you were, just a big empty hole. I tried every bottle, every pail that I know, but time every time works better than wine and bloodshot eyes. It was like the whole... And it was like, it's a very drawn out. It's kind of a long phrase, and every time I thought that I was done writing it, I was like, no, this whole thing is great.
And, well, it's like the whole song. It's like a kind of drawn out, it's really long chords that are like progression. And it's that same feel being like, no matter how much you want to just chase it away, drink it away, or pop a pill or whatever, it's going to be time that makes it better or whatever the thing you're dealing with is. Like, there's no shortcut around.
No. And that's the thing that I like whenever people, because I've, you know, I've gone through some pretty, I tend to date long term, you know, I'm a long term person. Like did you ever watch, How I Met My Mother? How I Met Your Mother?
Yeah, yeah.
How I Met My Mother. I was born.
Hello. I'm a baby.
I am here. I came out of your vagina. Yeah. Hello.
Man, tough crowd.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. I there's a character that was like, he, in one of the episodes where it was like somebody calls him and it's like, the window is open. And it's like this woman that Ted, that has like a very short window where she's,
breaking up with one person.
Yeah. And then immediately in a relationship. And the joke is that like, she breaks up with somebody and then it gets with the like UPS driver.
Yeah.
Is like, how short her window is. And I think I'm kind of similar in that way where I'm like, I tend to be a long-term dater. And this past time before dating Tucker was the longest I was single. It was 9 months.
Okay.
And I think that was good for me. And I think that was like purposeful because I was very like tired of falling into these things that were not necessarily the most healthy for me. And so I went through like two relationships that were 3 years that ended, you know, one with like cheating, which was not great. And the other one, just like we were like, I don't think we love each other anymore. Like, mm-hmm. I don't think that this is healthy. This is good. And so like, you know, not that I'm like the expert, but I feel like I do have kind of experience with like getting my heart broken. And so when friends and I like talk to me, I tend to like gather friends who are going through breakups. Like people tend to like flock to me for those moments,
which is an interesting, you know, compliment. And like, well, so you know what heartbreaks.
Yeah,
like,
so
right?
You know what I'm feeling, and yeah, I do.
You've been
and
broken before, right?
Yeah, and I'm like, and they, well, I think that's the thing that like people are drawn to me. Not to like put myself on a pedestal, but I think people are drawn to me in that way because they're like, oh, you're fine, you know, you seem okay.
Oh yeah, that's the common part. You know? You made it out the other side. Like, you've gotten through this horribleness.
Yeah.
So how did
like,
you do it?
Yeah. So I think that's like the nice, yeah, that is like the nice compliment thing. But sometimes it like, I'm like, this is too much for me to take on for sure. But people talk to me about, you know, I've had a lot of conversations with people about breakups and I'm like, it will suck for a while and that's fine. And like, that's normal. And you shouldn't feel like weird about that. Weird about like, you know, relapsing and like feeling okay and then feeling bad again. And like, even, you know, even years later, like having moments where you're like thinking about somebody and it hurts, you know, like that's normal. That's fine.
I wish like someone told me that. I think is one thing I really didn't know at all is that it just, there's always going to be something inside of you that will have a semblance of that feeling that you just kind of have to deal with and get used to that feeling. So you're just like, oh, this little thing will always remind me of this person. And that's just always going to be what my brain triggers it to like feel that. But it gets less intense. And it's like it doesn't go away. Intense. Just the intensity can go down to a manageable level at all time. Yeah. And to the point where you're not like fighting it. So it's like, I think that's always the worst part, at least for me. I don't know if you had the same thing with like breakups. It's like, I don't want to feel this way. And you're actively going against it and trying to like shove it out because you just want to have your brain free.
Yeah. And that's why, people drink. That's why people, and it's like, and that's what I tell people is like, it just takes time.
Yeah.
And time is the only thing that's ever going to heal the heartbreak, you know? And that's not a bad, you know, like that's not a bad thing. It's good. And I'm like, I had a friend who, had never opened herself up to enough to like love somebody and then got really crushed. And she was like having a really rough time. And I was just like, this feeling right now, the feeling that you're feeling, I want you to be proud of yourself. Cause that means that you opened yourself up enough to be hurt this much.
Yeah.
You know? And that's a good thing. That's not a bad thing.
Exercise. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's like, and I think that that's something that I've tried to remember when I'm in a bad way is just like, you opened yourself up enough to get hurt. And that is brave. You know, like some people never do that.
Yeah, and it was like, aren't I lucky that I have the capacity to have this feeling?
Yeah.
I had to remind myself, because sometimes I, like, beat myself up for being, like, robotic and unemotional, and then I'm like, well, I'm experiencing emotion here. This is clear experience of emotion. Like, is you can't be mad that this is, I guess you can be mad, but you can feel whatever you want about it, but it's like, at least that this is happening. Yeah, yeah. At least you like got to a point where you got to have this much intensity in anything. Because the worst is numbness and apathy.
Yeah,
that's the worst.
That's what I was gonna say. Because that same friend who was like, and that night she was talking about like, oh, I just want this feeling to go away. I just don't want to feel this anymore. And then I was like, yeah, but you're going to miss this feeling when you're numb.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like like the worst part. And I was like, I'm going to warn you about this. Like the worst part about any breakup is like after you have this like insane, you know, like crying on the couch jag for 3 days where you're like, I just want this feeling to go away. Then you're just like numb. And that's worse.
Yeah.
Because then you could be out at a place where you should be having a good time and you're not, and you don't feel anything, and that makes you feel worse.
And you get robbed of the things that brought you joy to begin with. And you're like, now this is affecting literally everything.
Yeah.
And this is the worst part. Yeah, because now it's like I am just gray through and through.
Yeah, and now you're just like broken. You know, and then that's when you feel broken and like.
But that feels like the turning point. Like once you get there.
Yeah.
Then there's a little bit of like, okay, now I can maybe try to welcome in some other stuff.
Some joy. Yeah. And do some things. And I don't know, like. I actually like, you know, going through a breakup is kind of like a transformative period, and it hurts and it sucks when you're going through it, but like, man, is it fun also, you know, man, is it like, it's such like a experimental time. It's such like a, and it's not fun. You don't feel the fun when you're like, lonely at 2 a.m. and you're just like, I just want somebody to hold me. But at the same time, like there's those experiences that you never have when you're, and those decisions you make when you don't have, like that you don't make these same decisions when you're with somebody because you have another person to consider.
Oh, sure. Like just being single, yeah. Like in general.
Yeah, just being single in general is so much fun.
Certainly. Absolutely.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's, and like you make decisions when you're heartbroken that you wouldn't do otherwise. You're like, I'm going to go, you know, I'm going to go travel, or I'm going to start doing comedy, or I'm going to like, you know, like you make these, you do these things that like completely change your life. And like, that's the good stuff. Like, that's the fun stuff.
Oh, yeah. It's always been, like, in the lowest moments I've had comes afterwards of being, like, the most insane. I'm be like, well, nothing really bad can happen to me now. I might as well take this risk to do this. Because, like, nothing can really hurt or be worse than what I just did. Yeah, nothing's going to
hurt as much as...
did. So it's like, what's the worst going to... Yeah, like, comedy. Like, what's the worst if I can go up on stage and bomb? Like, that's going to be worse. And you're like, oh, that did
I've had
suck.
My heart broken by somebody that I really loved. Yeah. So, like, there is nothing you can do to me.
Yeah. Just like, I just had my heart broken and I'm going to try comedy. And everyone's was so on board.
Yeah.
But then it's like, then you're like, well, you have to be thankful for those extremely low moments because they always lead, like, everyone I look back to has led to this, like, crazy upswing or, like, discovery of now this thing that, like, brings me consistent joy in my life or this huge piece of my personality that I have to keep, and I know that's a big part of me.
Well, it's like you're learning about yourself and you're becoming reacquainted with who you are outside of a relationship. And like that is such a fun, beautiful process.
Yeah.
And it gets lost under the feeling of like intense loneliness when you're not, because of course, like having somebody is amazing, you know, like having a partner is like, is an amazing thing and something that like I wouldn't, you know, I'm not gonna like sit here being like being single's better, you know, because both are great.
Mm-hmm.
But like obviously we all like want to be with somebody ultimately, like it most people anyway.
Yeah,
it
right.
is like That's... a it is like a human need to be like loved and touched and to feel connected to another human being. But I think it is so important. So many people fall from thing to thing and don't ever take time to like rediscover who they are.
Oh yeah.
Without another person with them. And I think it is so beautiful and fun to discover who you are in a vacuum.
And I think you kind of have to do it. So you have to have that some kind of period to take that time away. And I think, that's a lot of people don't want to do that or afraid to do that or think it's like
because
socially
there are parts
frowned
of it that are lonely and painful, you know, and like we shy away from being lonely and feeling pain.
It's just that because we don't want to sit with our thought. We don't want to sit with that pain for a second and see where it came from. And people don't want to just like go in. There's some quote to be like most of man's problems stems from not being able to sit alone in a room with himself.
Yeah.
Like that's it. You're just like, if you got to face these things at some point, but if you're just constantly adding in someone to the mix as a distraction, like you never get to the root of like what's really going to make you happy in life.
Yeah, exactly. Like you have to push through all those demons in order to get to like the nice, beautiful, sunny plateau that is being in a healthy, committed relationship.
Oh, yeah. Do you ever watch Daniel Sloss's Netflix special? Or the new HBO one is insane too, but like in his Netflix one, he has this bit about like, that's so good, of just like when you only love yourself and get to that point of self-acceptance where you like love yourself 40%, someone can come along and love you at 50% and you're like, oh my God, that's so much. And it's like, that's literally half. Like it's not that good, but you just don't ever get to the point where
I have seen this.
Yeah. And it's so perfect. It's like, that's it. Right. Exactly.
Yeah, you don't want somebody to like love you 50%. You want somebody to love you you want a whole person to also love you another whole person.
It's not this 50% matching with another 50% where your puzzle piece is fully aligned.
Yeah, and you're just constantly trying to change each other into something that works. And it's like it just doesn't work. Okay that it just doesn't work.
Yeah. Come whole as yourself with another person whole.
And and the thing that I've learned through all like my heartbreak and like my like desperation to cling on to something that doesn't work is that it doesn't necessarily mean that it's not going to work later, you know? And like love is not the only thing that should be bonding your relationship together. Like there are a lot of more important things than love. The love is obviously very important, but like But what's more important is like a shared view of the world and shared goals and a shared like shared appreciation for each other and a shared like respect of each other.
Yeah, that respect and like goal and appreciate those things. Yeah. I never put a priority on, I think. And you just don't realize, I think, until you've maybe gone through it a couple of times, how important that is for a partnership. Because you are in a life, it's like not businessy, but it's like you are in a like partnership in a sense where it's like you got to have the directional alignment with a person.
Yeah. And you've got to be able to support each other without getting like jealous or without being like, you know, competitive. Like it's, there's a lot of very important, lots of very important things that are like more important than just like we're in love.
Yeah.
You know, like that's like, nice. That's it. Good.
That's all. You just got to find that. And that's good enough.
And it's like, there are people that you can love that you're just like, you know what? I love you so much. And this is not ever going to work, you know, like, and there's just
fundamental incompatibility.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's fine. And that's good. You know, and breaking up with somebody, learning how to break up with somebody that you love is hard.
Oh yeah. I've done that, twice and it's the worst.
Yeah.
It's horrible. Of like, you realize like I can have this profound love for this person. But I know I just don't have, the tools for this.
Yeah, I don't have the emotional capacity at this moment.
I don't have it. And so it's, I'm a person that spent like a lot of time being single and still being like, I don't know if I've like fully gotten this like person where I'm whole and I can like add someone in. And then just, those times where it's like, I got more work to do and I know that I can't be in this thing. And I know that directionally we're growing in two way different ways.
Yeah.
But it's like in your 20s, when you're growing, you're changing so much through your 20s. So it's really, it's tough to even like solidly say like, oh, I'm perfectly like this person right here. So it's like I look back on where I was at like 20 versus where I am at 30. And I'm like, it's pretty obvious that the relationship, like I just went through profound changes of being like a solid, like engineer. I'm going to work for a big company to then just like leaving that completely and going, doing my own thing and focusing more on confidence. Like there's massive personality shifts that happen in between. Yeah, it's just big, I'm not the same person.
There's big changes that happen, especially in your 20s, because your brain is still developing and you're still deciding what you want your life to look like.
Yep.
And like there are some people that can make that work through that, which is great and amazing. And there's some people that will be there for it, but like if it doesn't work anymore, it doesn't work, and that's fine and that's good. And it doesn't mean it won't work later.
Certainly, yeah.
You know, you could pick up a few years down the road when you both are just like, now I'm ready for this again, you know?
Yeah, that too. Right, yeah, you just never know on those things too. But it's just the more you learn, I think, just through like how to articulate who you are. So once you figure out who you are, then you can articulate, this is what I need to make myself a whole person, make myself happy. So I'm not in this state of deficit where there are going to be tendencies where I'm breeding resentment and I'm doing these things.
And I need you to fill me.
Yes. So it's like now I think, at least for me, it's like having a little more better idea of like, if I do X, Y, and Z every day, I can pretty much control like depression and anxiety to a point where I know if I need help, I can articulate it, but I'm not just like harboring a resentment for a person and just, floundering and.
Yeah. Yeah. And relationships are complicated.
Yeah.
but the next song is New Sun.
Next song is
New Sun. My transitions are great. New Sun / Burnt Iron. And it's like, this is all instrumental, which is like, it's great to have like an instrumental break in the middle of this album. And the first half is like slow and beautiful. And then the second half is like fast. And it's like, this is them jamming, you know?
Yeah.
This is like the point in the concert where you're just like watching people jam.
Yeah, this is when they really show off, I think. And they're just like, let's just, we're going to play the shit out of these things. Yeah. And it's going to be awesome. And you're just, that is the point where you're just like in awe. They got the light show going too on the concerts. And then like, they're all like taking a step forward on stage. So you're just seeing the fingers just like fly, like lightning speed. And you're like, what is happening right now? This is insanity.
Yeah, and can you imagine how many hours it would take to get that good?
I can't, and it's all acoustic, and they're making so much noise. They're making more noise than like just a regular rock band is, and it's just like filling up the room. And you're like, there seems like there's 20 people up there, yeah, and there's five of them, or I guess six now, but there's like, oh, there's five of these guys doing this album. That's, yeah, it's just nuts.
Yeah, that is wild. I mean, I love bluegrass because I, and I've said it before and I will say it again, I love a fiddle and I love a banjo, you Oof. Know, like just like,
yep,
so great. So like such like, they like, they make you feel so much, those instruments.
Yeah, there's something like really tactile about it too. And I think, yeah, like the rarity of it too, where you don't hear it every day. So yeah, when you come back to it, you miss it a little bit.
Yeah. Yeah, you don't hear a banjo every day.
No.
Who's out here hearing a banjo every day? Not probably me. Steve Martin, but yeah, you know, only because he plays.
Yep, Steve Martin and Kermit the Frog, you know?
Yeah, Kermit the Frog hears a banjo every day.
That is all the time.
That is a fact about Kermit the Frog. And then after that one is Help You, which, like, that one, we were just, like, in a chatting vibe. I don't know if you can tell, but me and Matt are just in a chatty vibe today.
So. Yeah, we're, like, this half catching up, half reviewing
yeah,
the album.
Yeah, half listening to the album.
Getting life updates.
Yeah, so we were just, like, chilling and chatting. But Help You felt like it was, like, chugging like a train. Like, that's what the sound kind of felt like.
Yeah. But that is that kind of feel. And that's another part of that, like, road trip vibe to the whole album that gets that way where you're just, like, you're really chugging along. You're like, all right, we're getting there.
Yeah. We're trucking along.
Yep. I really like that one. That one's great.
Yeah, that one's really pretty.
Upbeat, yeah, type of thing to it.
And then Feet and Bones. I actually looked up the lyrics because it's a story song, which I really liked. I love a story song. And this one felt like this one and then the one after Gasoline feel like kind of Wild Westy, and not like country, but the Wild West.
And Gasoline is that kind of like non-melodic one, right? That's like, yeah. Yeah, it's like a little grating and like a little like, tension building.
Yeah. And you were like, that one's not my favorite.
Yeah.
And it makes sense because it isn't as like melodically soothing as the rest of the album.
Yeah.
But Feet and Bones, the first verse is hired guns surround my sound, surround my town, hired feet and bones, tried to burn us to the ground to build a brand new home, all lined up to carry me to hell just like before. Winter seems so far away, like tragedy and war. Just like, okay, all right, slay, you know?
Yeah, that's a good one.
Yeah, set a scene for us, you know?
Yeah, man. I know a lot of those I haven't even, like, listened that closely when I, like, look at the lyrics or see them written out, too. I'd be like, man, there's this, yeah, something I get to pick out of every time.
Yeah, something new every time. That's what I love in music is, like, something that you can, like, every time pick out something new that you like.
Yeah.
But yeah, I love that very, and it was also very fast.
Mm-hmm.
And then Gasoline, which I said felt like a new sheriff coming into a corrupt town, right. You know?
Yeah.
Like that's the scene that would like be happening during this song.
It feels like kind of skeptical and you're yeah, like, I don't know what this like, tension is, but something's going to go down. Yeah,
it feels like
down.
Somebody's watching you, you yeah. know? Like people are like, you keep catching people staring at you from the corner of your eye and you're just like, well, I got to have a hand on my holster.
Yeah, it is. I don't know. This is a side tangent completely, but it's like, I don't know if past lives exist, but there's something like when I'm scared or like someone's like jumps out at me, my right hand instinctually goes for a gun, and I've never had a holster or like owned a pistol, like anything. There's some, I'm like, I wonder if I have this like baked in from like the 1800s yeah. or something where there's still yeah, a reflex. A,
yeah.
In my...
like, or if it's just like you watched a lot of Westerns growing up. Yeah,
and it's like, just the triggers in there.
Yeah.
Be like, what am I doing?
I like try to like put my claws out.
Put your
like
claws
a cat.
Out. Yeah.
And I'm like, that's unhelpful. You know, I don't have claws. So.
Yeah. But it is a good stance. I'd be like either she's doing Thriller or going to attack me.
Dun, 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 or scratch her face, you know?
Yeah, or scratch my face. I don't
yeah,
know
I will not go. I will not go out without a fight. You know, yeah, like I will. In. If I'm gonna get murdered, like I'm gonna get your DNA
yeah.
on me.
Yeah, that's
you know?
What I was saying. Get that skin under the fingernails.
Yeah, I'm gonna get
yep.
your skin under my fingernails, mm-hmm. dude. Like I'm gonna get you.
Yeah.
My daddy has lawyers. Okay.
I like those. I've seen those like Instagram ads or some of those adorable brass knuckles they have now that
oh,
are
with
like the
kitty
claws.
I do have
oh,
those.
Man.
Yeah,
yeah. Those are
I
great.
Got mine taken away at the airport once.
Oh,
I couldn't have those kitty. I forgot about them, and they're like, "I'm so sorry. I'm gonna have to take this." Yeah. And I was like, "That's fair. It's stupid, but it's fair."
Yep. I know. The amount that, like, gets through, like, I realize, like, so many times that just lighters in my backpack. I mean, like, I guess they don't give a shit about lighters anymore. That used to be a big thing for a while.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it's performative security.
It is. It's not like... It's insane. I mean, like, so much... Yeah, it's just this huge dance that's not really doing anything.
Yeah. Yeah, Tucker has a good bit about that now, because we went on a... When we went back to his hometown, he got flagged. And it was... He had to get his balls felt up. And it was like, what are we doing this for?
What?
You know?
Wow.
Like, it was just like, he had to, like, get his, you know... He just had to get a pat down in his groin area, and it was just like...
We're still doing this, huh?
Yeah, like, why are we doing this? This is weird. This is weird now. Because it's just like, he's not going to be hiding anything under his balls, and if he is, you're not going to find it.
Yeah, a brief pat, that'll tell us if there's a microchip bomb in here.
Yeah, exactly. It's so weird. Anyway, it's not the last one. The next song is Sounds Like a Movie. Which you said, this is a really fast one.
Yes, a super fast instrumental one.
Yeah, right? And you said, like, this is the one where the guy playing the banjo breaks his strings a lot.
Yes, Dave Carroll. I think I saw him, like, the last couple times I saw him, like, break a string on this. I don't know if I've heard this one in a little bit, but, yeah, I've seen him, you know, probably, like, a dozen times or so. And just this one, he's just ripping on the banjo. And you just see him front and center and just really, really ripping. And you're just... It's crazy. It's just crazy to look at. And you see him, I think like a couple times I saw him just like, shred it out. And just be like, all right, gonna keep going.
Yeah, they have to break a lot of strings during doing this sort of stuff. Yeah, just like tour with like, that's so many instruments to tour with too. And just like maintain and keep up. Go for them though.
Yep.
I'm sure they have like roadies, tons of roadies for that.
Just giving them the extra one ready to go.
Yeah. Yeah, imagine being, like, the roadie for this tour, just, like, having to have all these instruments. Just
furiously stringing.
Yeah, furiously restringing things and, like,
We need another one. Broke another G-string. Come on. What do we pay you 4 cents an hour for?
Yeah, what do we pay you 4 cents an hour for? Truly. And then the next song is, the penultimate song is New Orleans.
Yes.
Which is another one that felt very road trippy. To me, like this, obviously this whole album, but like there's like certain ones that make you feel like, you know, you could just like plod along and just be like chill driving in the car.
Yeah.
That
might be my favorite one of just, I just like the whole song is just feels very good. I mean, like a good road trip song. I kind of like the story of that one too. And, all around solid one.
Yeah, yeah. The line I wrote down is, it's a bitch, ain't it, babe, to live while you're young.
Yeah.
I'm crushed that the world turned over too soon. I was thinking about that after I wrote it down. I was just like, yeah, it feels like, you know, you look back and you're like, man, I wasted so much time. You know, what was I doing? And like, it feels like, it is that feeling where you're just like, ah. Oh, if I could go back and relive it, I would do so many things differently.
Yeah. And just the complaining while you're young to being like, oh, I got all these things. I got, this is all the stuff I got to do. And be like, yeah, that's, must be tough. You know, you got all this stuff living while you're young too. It's like just the perspective we don't have. And just, you can do whatever you want. And we're still complaining.
Yeah.
It's kind of crazy.
Yeah, exactly. And it's just like, you know, you hindsight is 20/20, you know, like you look back and you're like, if I could change some things, I would. But you have to be like, okay with where you are, you know, you have to be, you know, cause I wish I'd started comedy sooner.
Oh yeah, of course.
But like, I can't help that.
Yeah. Right. And the thought I always remind myself is like, well, you started now and you're so much happier for it. So it's like, it's either starting out. It's like, well, what if you didn't start for 2 more years? You just add another 2 more years of not having this thing in your life that brings you a lot of joy. It's like, thank God it happened when it did.
Yeah. And it's like, it's nerve wracking to start something new,
mm-hmm.
you know, when you're just like, and something so, inconsistent.
Yeah, there's a lot of surprises, a lot of ups and downs in it, and turmoil. But Yeah, of course, it's like all those things just take 10. It's like something, like I wasn't ready really for comedy, I think, at least for me too, where it's like, I think you have to kind of be ready to start doing it at a certain point. Like, you have to have things to talk about. You gotta have a life that you can comment on. And you gotta have some of those insecurities wiped out a little bit before you kind of get up there and be... Because there's not, you know, if you see someone that's really uncomfortable with themselves still on stage, you're like, I don't,
you're just making me uncomfortable now. Well, and like, I think the thing for me is like, people, you know, there's so many comedians like that, like, talk, like give advice, you know, give advice to younger comedians. I'm just like, a lot of their advice is like, oh, you got to be doing it every day. You got to show up every day. And it's like, I don't always have something to talk about every day.
Yeah, you know? Writing, and then if you don't have something that you're excited about or that you wrote out, don't go to a mic. Like, go live and gather some experience instead.
Yeah, I think living is also important because then it just becomes like comedy about it. Art becomes art commenting on art, and it's just like, that's not cool. That's not good, and it's just like, I don't know. I think it's good to take breaks and breathe and like live a life worth commenting on.
Yeah, for sure. It requires all those things to line up. It's like, yeah, the reps are important, but it's the people that are just like ripping through open mics for the sake of doing it without taking the time to go back, reflect, change things and alter it or rewrite. It's like, well, you're missing half or two thirds of the work here. Well, yeah. It's not just one thing.
Showing up is part of the battle.
Yeah,
yeah, right. I'm in the same vibe.
No, I'm just like, this is what you should do, not the other guy's theory.
Yeah, exactly. Fuck the other guys.
Yeah.
But yeah, and you know, you can't change the past, but it is like, you know, it is a thing where you look back and you're like, what did I do? What did I do with my life?
A lot of those just years wasted on something. Well, just like the anxiety too, and just been like unsureness or doing things you think people will expect of you too, instead of like things that you actually enjoy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Better to do things you enjoy.
Yeah. I'm discovering that at 30, I think. I'm like, oh, maybe I should do stuff I like.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm discovering that I have way too many hobbies and maybe I need to chill, you know, like. I like cooking and baking and cross stitching and I'm just like, maybe we choose one.
Yeah.
reading and
that is a real thing of like, it's that, you know, sample, what do they say? Like browse, sample, choose, commit or something like that.
Yeah.
Where you can just gotta try it all. And then eventually you're like, I think I like this one. And then just, all right, I guess I'm doing this for 5 years.
Yeah.
And see where it goes.
Yeah. Yeah. Tucker's been doing comedy for like 10 years, so he's getting to this like decade point where he's just like kind of taking stock. And I think that's important to do. I think it's important to like reaffirm whether or not this is still the path that we want to be on, you know?
For sure.
Because I think so many people just like stubbornly choose and they're like, this is the thing. And this is who I am. This is what I'm going to do for the rest of my life. And it's like, but you can change if you want to.
Oh, yeah.
And you should, you know? Like, I think that's why I have so many hobbies, is because I'm just like, you know what? Everything interests me.
Yeah. Were you telling me about, like, the multi-potentialite people versus the master people? There's some TED talk about like you might be an either or. I mean, like someone who likes to just like get super into the weeds, one subject, like just tear through it and like get all in, become a subject matter expert on these things. And like as a society, we reward them and we go, you know, these are the people that we need to go to. And then, but they aren't as effective in a lot of ways as these other people, the multi-potentialites, who are being like, I like to have like five things going on that all feed each other. And they all kind of like all these skills that seem disparate can kind of marry together to make me like more effective at all of them.
Yeah.
And like, I can't really go into one without getting super burnt out. So I like to have all these other ones.
Yeah. And that's me. I'm a multi person. And I feel like a little bit like I watch these people and I have to remind myself of that because I think I've heard somebody talk about this same TED talk where I have to remind myself that it's not a bad thing that I haven't like fully committed myself to one.
Yeah.
One.
But we're taught that it is a bad thing. I mean, like, yeah, everyone has to focus completely on one subject, one specific thing.
But I get so burnt out. I can't focus anymore. Like, I'm just
And so if you're more effective when you add in things and you can have all these little things that feel like, then you, like, having more energy and like more passion and more excitement towards a subject, like, that is clearly the more effective route if that's what fuels you. So it's like, what are we doing beating ourselves up to try to shoehorn into this path that we think is, well, that's the way successful people do it. So,
yeah,
but it's not this, like, if there's a million examples of people that are like, oh, I like to have, yeah, these five like types of jobs that I like to do, and this all feeds me money, or this all feeds me creatively.
Yeah. Yeah. It does make me feel better that like, that committing to one thing isn't always the way to go, you know? Like, it is that, like, it's also okay to do what I'm doing, which is just, like, I started a band, and I started a podcast, and I do improv, and I do, you know, stand-up, and I, like, when I get burnt out on one thing, then I have another thing to fall back on, but it's still creative, you know? So it's, like, it is nice to have multiple interests, because it's, like...
But I feel you on the other side of it too, where it's like, then I feel bad if I'm doing too many things or I'm not like committing too hard to one of them. Then I'm like, well, now I'm seeing people accelerate past me, or now I'm seeing like, well, am I going to get to a point where I'm adequately effective at this skill, or I'm moving along too slow because I'm not like committing enough time to do it. So there's that like drowning feeling where it's like, okay, I do have to maybe wean back a couple to really like dedicate the time that is necessary for these things, which is tough, I think, because I think I go through that same thing, being like, well, I like all of them, I want to do all of them,
and it's like, you can,
yep,
and you can do but you have to choose like a few things to focus on for sure
to be like your main bread and butter, so that you have
yeah, so that you're not trying to put your 100% energy into five different things, because that's impossible.
Yes, exactly. I think it's like that. I like the if I'm wondering like if a habit I can like cut out or spend less time or I should really focus on. I like the. I think this is. It's not David Kelly from like the Stanford Design. I think it's like. Can't remember the guy's name. We can like, I guess, look it up later. But he does like the, like, discover your strengths, I think, or the no. I'm totally blanking on what he's from. But it's basically this idea of like you have three circles of like things that you're really good at, things that like are naturally easy to you, and then things that you can get paid for, or things that you're good at and things that are naturally easy to are one, and then things that the world like needs and things that you can like get paid for. So it's those, I'm butchering this whole analogy, but it's like the intersection of all three of those, because you can be like really naturally good at things and not necessarily like doing it, or you can like the world can like pay you for a service that you're kind of okay at and you like, but maybe you're not excited about it. So you ideally want to have that thing of like all three things that can come together, and you're like, okay, that's the one or two things maybe I should put a bunch of stuff into, and then the stuff that I'm like not very good at, but it really makes me really enjoy doing it. I can kind of do on the side type of thing.
Yeah, exactly. I think I need to, I've been thinking about this lately. I think I do need to focus more energy into characters, because I think I am really good. I've gotten people telling me that I'm good at characters. So I think, and that's something that I haven't put a lot of energy into. So that's something that I've been thinking about is like, hey, if people are telling you this is a thing you're good at.
Yeah.
Maybe start putting more energy that way. You know, start doing more of that thing that people are like, because it makes me nervous. You know, I don't know why, but it makes me like, it's kind of scary, but that's also kind of good, you know?
Yeah, that's like a good pointer. Like things that are scary. It's like, oh, I think I have to look into this. Yeah. Like if there's something in me that's scared about it, usually that's a good arrow going towards like what I got to do next, I think.
Yeah. So I think I need to start pursuing that a little bit more heavily and start writing that way.
Yeah. I would say that's because that is a scary thing too. Like, yeah, character work Yeah. And the people that are good at it. And it's always useful towards everything. It's useful to, like, writing and an improv scene, writing, like, sketch work. Like, it's just such a versatile skill.
Yeah. It is. It is. It is a very versatile skill. But it is, like, you know, writing a character that... I did this... So there's this... there's a show at LSI that's Big Swings, and it's once a month. And I love that show. I've been booked a couple times. Like, Andrew's reached out and had me do that show. And nice. I decided to start doing characters for that because I was just like, well, this is a big swing for me because I don't usually do them.
Yeah.
And I've done a couple characters that I really like at that show. And
it's mostly, like, single characters, right? That's the point of it? Like,
a lot of it is characters.
Okay.
You can do, like, people who usually do characters sometimes try stand-up and do, like, or, like, wild bits, whatever.
Okay.
I did this one character that I really liked that was, like, me as a ghost, like, gently haunting a family. Just, like, excuse me, I need help crossing over, you know? Like, excuse me, I need you to solve my murder, please. And I, like, I'm sorry to do this. Just, like, gently turning a chair over.
Yeah, just like a, like, slightly annoying
I'm
ghost.
I'm so sorry. I am so sorry. I also don't want to be here, you know? Like, I also do not want to be here, but I need you to solve my murder.
Like, I don't want to go full haunt. No. I don't really want to, you know, I don't want to be that ghost.
I don't want to be that ghost, but I will, you know? Like, I need help. I hate asking for help, but I need it.
Yeah, that's great.
So it's like, yeah, that thing of, like, identifying where your skills are and then, like, going in that direction is sometimes hard. Anyway, the last song on this album.
Last song.
Is Again, which just is, like, a very, like, chill, it lets us down easy, it, like, there's a lot of good harmony in it, and then I wrote down this line, dreaming doesn't make much sense anymore, the demons are howling at your door, but still you ask for more. It's like, I think, like, that is the painful part about, like, to me, it feels like that's a painful part about being an artist. It's just like when you get to this point where you're jaded and you're just like, but really, what are my dreams worth? And all these, like, doubts and, like, demons are like haunting you about, like, well, I mean, like, if I can't even get booked for CYSK, like, if I can't reach these miles, if I'm not getting booked at the Laugh Factory, if I'm not, like, you know, what am I really doing? You know, like, what is success? Like, I see all these, you know, these goals that seem like both attainable and unattainable at the same time, you know? And it's like, but still there's something in you that's just like, no matter what, no matter how hard this, like, beats me down sometimes, like, I still am going to dream about this thing, and it's still what I want, you know?
And, like, that, you're inviting more of it in, because no matter what, there is going to be this thing that seems unattainable, and then, like, once we get it, and then it'll be like, oh, nice, and then a moment of satisfaction.
And then there's another plateau.
So we're just keep wanting,
you know,
this, like, demon to be constantly nagging at us for 99% of the time for a 1% satisfaction period. Yeah. And then we're like, no, bring in another demon. Let's have another one.
Yeah, let me battle this other demon now. Let me just, like, there's, like, different boss levels, you know? Yeah. It's just like you beat that, you've worked so hard to beat this one boss, and then you move into the next room and you're like, oh, there's a bigger boss.
And this one's more terrifying. It just keeps getting more
anxious. It just keeps getting bigger and more anxiety inducing. That's good to know.
Yeah. Oh man, and it's such a, and then you're like, well, then what is there worth focusing on if you're not, like, because it's like goals are important. You got to set those things. But yeah, it's like a, I think it's, for me, I'm like, I just gotta, it's just keep my head down, you know, and, like, making sure I, like, love the process every day of actually, like, okay, I'm gonna keep my routines that make me happy and not depressed. I know these things make me happy, so just keep doing those things every day. It's almost like Memento, where I'm, like, looking at a post-it. I mean, like, what are the things that, like, bring, like, light you up inside? And, like, put your brain on, like, a, you know, light your brain up like a Christmas tree. Like, what are these things? I'm like, okay, I like skiing. I like exercising. I like doing stand-up. I like doing improv. I like drawing. And I like connecting with people and, like, having coffee with people. It's like, do one of those things today if you're feeling, or, like, eating good. Like, am I eating right? And it's, if I'm, like, super depressed or anxious, I'm like, oh, I had three of these things missing in the last couple weeks. Bring them back into the fold. And it's like, surprise, surprise, doing all right again.
Makes you feel better. Yeah. Yeah, eating better is like such a big thing.
Such a huge thing. And it's such an easy one to just slip up and let like totally affect your mood.
Yeah. Yeah, just like, you're just like, why do I feel like shit?
Yeah.
And it's like, oh, I have been eating nothing but burgers and cookies for like the past 3 days. And you know what would make me feel better is a salad. A salad would, a salad would like, would make my body feel a little less grumpy.
Yep, exactly. It's like, let's go for a walk, let's have a salad and see if you still want to throw a brick through the window after this.
Yeah. Yeah, man, going for a long walk. I haven't been, like, walking as much as I used to. I used to walk home from Tucker's house, which is, like, a 40-minute walk.
Oh, that's a good
one. And I haven't done that in a long time.
Yeah. Yeah, so. And then you're like, oh, I'm saving money, I'm not Ubering, and, like, I'm getting some exercise, clearing the head.
Yeah, it just feels like my life got so busy lately that I haven't been, like, any time that I have, spare time, I just, like, lay down, you know, and... lay down on the floor like, okay, well, this is where I'm going to be for the next 20 minutes until I have to get up and like do something else.
That is when I listen to bluegrass. When I'm in like, I'm just going to lay on this mat and I just want to like feel something different or just have everything felt at once. I'm like queuing up bluegrass is what we're doing.
Let's get it in here.
Yep, exactly.
Well, thank you for showing me this album. It's a beautiful album.
My gosh. Well, thanks for taking the time to chat through it and listen.
Yeah, this has been lovely.
It's been amazing.
I just have two little final questions for you. My first question is, if there is a song, not a song, if there is an artist or a band that writes songs that sound like your soul, who is it and why? Like, if your soul could write music, who would it sound like?
Oh, man. If my soul could... I think... right now, I think it's like I've been... maybe, you know, going through a little bit of a self-discovery, maybe of changing a little bit. But I think, like, solidly now, like, I've been really into the Avett Brothers, and I just saw them, and Tramp by Turtles were playing in Chicago, and I saw them both play. And, like, that one song that's, like, the Head Full of Doubt, and it's just all about, like, just vanquishing. Like, I just heard this, like, thing in my head. I'm going to butcher the lyrics, because I can never remember any of them, but... like this thing screaming and shouting that had to be let out and finally just like, you know, opened it up like a bird in a cage and it flew out. And that level now, I mean, like, I think this year my soul has just been like, we're doing this thing in such a, we don't give a fuck anymore fashion, where the majority of my life is spent on like, this is the person that, you should be. And this is what you're good at, and this is what you're going to do. And this year's been a totally, like, these are the things I'm into, and I'm going to go full head into it and full not hog. Doubt anymore. Yeah, just like, let's rock it, and let's, I'm just like, I'm getting in more into psychedelics, because I really like psychedelics, and there's just this very social kind of... you know, faux pas against them. And I think that a lot of that like stuck with me. And then I'm been just getting super into comedy. And I'm like, these are the things that bring me a ton of joy. And I'm really interested in what's going on, like the psychology behind them. Like, I'm just going to go full into them and just see where this path leads without this like expectation of like, is it going to bring me monetary value? Is it going to like lead me to a partner, or is it going to bring me in the right social circles? I'm like, who gives a fuck? There's something in your brain that wants to do this.
Yeah. Thing. Well, and it's like the good, you know, if you follow the fun, if you follow what makes you happy, like those things will come, you know, like that's the thing is like you'll find yourself in the social circle that you need to be in. And if you don't, if you find yourself in the company of people that you don't want to be with, then you don't have to. And you can say, you know, then you can do what I do and slowly cut people out of your life.
Which is also a thing that's like that same coin of like, stop hanging out with the people that are dragging you down and filling your head with more doubt. And like, oh, maybe I shouldn't be doing that. Maybe you're right. This is a silly thing to explore. And this is dumb. It's like, no, get rid of those folks. Go towards the people that are building you up and keep going along. Yeah, I love that.
Yeah, yeah. Like, find the people that make you feel good. And if somebody stops making you feel good, then you don't have to keep hanging out with them. You don't have to hang on to that person.
It seems so simple, but it's, like, the hardest thing to realize and do. For sure. I mean, like, do the things that you like doing and be with the people you like being with. Yeah. It's such an easy recipe, but you're like, it takes time in that quiet to just sit back and be like, okay, I gotta... this person is actively bringing so much negative bullshit into my life. Maybe I should explore not having them in it anymore.
Yeah, and like, I'm bad at like cutting people out entirely, so I'll keep people, you know, keep people around, even when I'm like, we probably shouldn't be friends. But like, I can, you know, you have to set boundaries and like limit your time with people that don't make you feel good.
Yeah. And just articulate that boundary and being like, this is how much I can give to you. This is where this relationship is at now. And I can't do any more than this. Otherwise I get put into a place that I don't like being.
Yeah. Yeah. You bring me to a pretty negative mental sphere, you know?
Yeah.
So, but it is hard. It is hard to do.
Very hard.
Anyway, dope. The Avett Brothers.
Yeah. I think those guys are really, singing the song that's charged me up lately.
Hell yeah.
Yeah.
And then my last song for you, or my last song, my last question for you is there anything that you've been listening to, like any song or a few songs that you've been listening to on repeat that you can't get out of your head for the past like week or two?
Oh man. Let me look at my Spotify.
Yeah. I know that's usually everyone's like, wow, let me go back and look at what I've been playing exactly. Recently.
Oh my gosh. I have like a recent favorites list that I keep every time I like one. I kind of add it to like a recent favorites and then nice. Archive the old ones. Yeah, what's been one that I don't want to go back to the Avett Brothers, but they have a new album out that there's one that I really like on that one. C-Sections and Railway Trestles.
Mm.
Who, I guess, well, yeah, this one's pretty, it's Seth Avett, like, just had a baby, and I think it was Seth and Scott, I think it was Seth, and then, so he was just, like, up all night in the emergency room, and just in, like, this loopy state, and just, like, didn't know what was going on, and just in that kind of like fugue, and he's like, all of a sudden a song hit him, and he's like, well, you never know when inspiration's gonna hit, and he had to just like scribe out, like could barely write on a notepad, this like kind of very bouncy type of like lullaby song all about the newborn and just the lessons that he's planning on trying to impart, and just not trying to be too stern but trying to just give advice. And it's just, it has that feel of like almost like a delusional, like, yeah. Like sleepy state that I've been liking a lot.
That's dope.
Yeah.
Babies are wild.
Yeah. My sister has like a 20-month-old, so I just got to see, the little guy over Thanksgiving. It's wild seeing, I was a new uncle, and it was kind of first experience with that, of being like, oh man, these are, it feels real now that it's a family member. You're like, oh yeah, babies just seem like aliens before. I'm like, oh, I kind of, there's something here. There's something like DNA tying
there's
to
like
this
a,
thing.
There's like an uncle thing that happens with a lot of like people I know. I feel like Tucker's an uncle and he's just like over the moon over his nephew,
yeah.
You know? And I feel like a lot of, there's like that uncle vibe that's like very, and aunts and uncles too. But I for some reason I just like notice it more with uncles, there's something about being an uncle that seems like pretty dope.
Yeah.
Being an aunt too. I think I'm going to be a great aunt, but
hell yeah, you will.
At some point when my sister is going to have kids, like that's her plan, but not for a while. Okay. I don't think still.
Gotcha. So not aunt status yet.
Not aunt yes. status yet. She's an optometrist and she just like got out of medical school and like got a job as an optometrist. So I think she wants to like, you know, get comfortable with her career before she throws a baby in the mix.
Okay. Yeah. Makes sense.
Yeah. But yeah, I don't know. I'm nannying a 6-month-old right now.
Oh yeah. It's how's that?
So cute.
Yeah.
He's great. He's a good baby.
That's good. Nice.
I love a baby.
Yeah, and a good baby.
Yeah, I love a good baby. I don't want one, but I do love them.
Yeah, I'm like, I don't know. For me, I like the at the distance.
Yeah, I'm like, wow, I can give you back. You know, yeah. Like that's good. That's fine.
Yeah.
But yeah, thank you so much for doing this.
Oh,
it's been
for
delightful.
Me.
You're a delightful person. So
oh, you're such a delight. Yeah. It's always great talking to you. Yeah, and same. I always am like, why don't we do this more often? Every
I know.
Time we talk.
I know,
and,
right? I know.
Yeah.
That I feel like there's, you know. But it's like, it's always delay, you know, like we'll do this again.
Exactly.
We'll do
like a, which is also part of the best part, being like, oh, we'll just pick it up exactly where you left off.
Exactly. Yeah. So it's always delightful to see you. And, do you have anything you want to plug before we get off the mic?
I don't know. Yeah. If you want to come to, you were just at the 2 weeks notice show, mm-hmm. which, it's awesome. Hopefully it's have very you on fun. And we'll just do like we did a lot of talking about, bad job experiences. So hopefully it gets you to talk about protein bar.
Yeah. I can talk about protein bar. I can talk about, the Red Balloon. Yes. Or to the boutique baby clothes store. So.
Oh, that's that. Okay. Yeah. Gotcha. I'm like, yeah, totally. Yeah. The red bubbly. Yep.
The red bubbly.
Mm-hmm. I know it. I know it well.
But yeah, he's, that 2 weeks notice is a great show. And, yeah. Anything else? Or is that the only plug you got?
And I guess, Friday nights, 7 PM at Logan Square Improv. Come to that.
Also a great show. Yeah. I've been on it twice.
I think so. Yeah. I have to get back on that soon.
Yeah, hit me up in 2020.
There we go. Oh yeah, I know that's delaying booking that again.
Yeah,
I
mean,
trying to finish out the rest of the year.
I know. I need to I have not booked anything for January yet.
It seems like not the next month. Yeah, it's like it's 3 months from now for sure.
Yeah, that's a whole nother year. You know, but it's okay if I take January and just I'm not doing a whole lot. That's also fine. I think.
Yeah.
Just take that as a reorganization of my life.
There you go.
But anyway, go check Matt out. He's very fun. He runs some very fun shows.
Oh, thank you very much.
And thank you everyone for listening, and rock on.
Rock on.
This has been a Navery Inc. podcast. Go to NaveryInc.com for more details. Executive produced by Jacob Duffy Halbleib. Audio designed by Dominic Guanzon.
The fuck is a knave?